It's the Lyrical Breakdown with my co-host, Keith Buckley. He's going to be joining us in just a minute. We're going to talk about the lyrics to the Motley Crue smash hit, Bastard. But first, I'm in the studio with Nick to tell you about the Patreon. What's up, Nick?
What's up? So the video is going to be on Patreon still, and you could have watched and heard it earlier if you signed up for patreon.com/Josta.
And we got a couple episodes up there now. So this, we'll play the whole episode for free today on the Josta Show feed.
Okay.
And I want to thank everybody who got Metal Fest tickets. If you're coming to Milwaukee Memorial Day weekend, thank you so much. If you are listening to this tonight, if you're listening to this on Tuesday night, the code is still live if you want to get Milwaukee Metal Fest tickets. It's everybody, Lamb of God, Anthrax, Suicidal, Black Dahlia Murder, Shadows Fall, Obituary, Fear Factory, Crowbar. I mean, the list goes on and on and on. You can go to therave.com/Metal Fest, and the artist presale code is MMF2023. That's nice. therave.com/Metal Fest, and the artist presale code is MMF2023. And if you don't get there and you want to use the Knotfest code tomorrow or the Blabbermouth code tomorrow, big shout out to Knotfest and Blabbermouth. They're doing presale codes too for everybody who wants early bird tickets. And I'll try to get you there.
All right.
Especially,
be cool.
Especially if we have some special guests and maybe jump up and you do some songs.
Yeah, that'd be cool.
And enjoy today's podcast with Keith Buckley, the Lyrical Breakdown, a new podcast that we're doing here as part of the Josta Show that we're going to try to get out every other week, right? Bi-weekly on Patreon.
Yeah.
And wanted to say thank you to IndieMerchStore.com. They're bringing us today's show, and they will also have a stage and a booth at Metal Fest in Milwaukee. So go to IndieMerchStore.com, use promo code JOSTA10 if you like today's show, and that helps the podcast. And yeah, where can they find you, Nick? They can follow you on social media.
Yeah, Instagram, Nicky Belmore, and I'm not really on anything else.
Right, so if they want to book the studio.
Yeah, the link to the studio is on my profile, or just search Dexter's Lab Recording.
Excellent, excellent. And I'm Jamie Joss on Twitter, Instagram, and then, yeah, everybody go get your tickets to Milwaukee Metal Fest. And if you want to support martyrstore.net, MARTYRSTORE.net, and right now you can save 15% this week when you use the code MMF23 as well. So the new Milwaukee Metal Fest shirts, new Crowbar shirts, there's some Josta shirts that we restocked, and of course we got all the Corpse Grinder, Ripper, Kirk solo shirts we put on sale. There's a bunch of stuff over there. Vinyl, colored vinyl. And yeah, that's it for now. We will be back after the show with a little outro with some more info for you. But right now, enjoy the first ever episode of The Lyrical Breakdown with Keith Buckley. Check it out. All right. What is up, everybody? Welcome to the show. It's The Lyrical Breakdown. We got Keith Buckley in the house, and we got a bunch of people joining us from Patreon. This is a new show that hopefully we'll be doing bi-weekly. If you like it, make sure you star, like, hit the button, subscribe. I don't know, wherever you are, wherever you're listening or watching. If it's on YouTube, like, subscribe, hit the bell. If you are on iTunes, make sure you give it a 5-star review if you like what you hear today, and leave a comment. And you could hear these early if you are subscribed at patreon.com/Josta. Shout out to... We gotta mute some people. But that's good. We got a good crowd joining us. Shout out to Andrew Chase, Kid, aka Kid Rock 2 on Patreon, Mark Armenta, Alex Atkinson, Jason Rary, Dominique Wilson, Andy Wilson. Wow, we got two Dominiques, or is that just okay. We got Ryan, we got Paul Scally, Ryan Williams, Ryan Levson, and Keith. How are you? Good to see you. The hair is getting long.
Thanks, man. I'm good. We've been trapped inside for, about a week and a half, since a little before Christmas, but things are finally coming back to life. And I don't know. I don't have a haircut planned, but I'll think about it.
Me neither.
I know. I love it. I love it. I was very surprised when I saw you like a few months ago. I didn't realize you were even growing out your hair. So, dude, that long was to see it that luscious was amazing.
Yeah, and you know what? I've been taking the vitamin D. We probably should all send vitamin D to Buffalo, right? Because
yeah, please. Then something. I mean, you know what? I'm not going to get into the Monday Night Football. Hey, we need a lot of help.
Oh my God. I know. The whole Monday Night Football thing is that I don't follow the NFL, but I knew when I was out the following day, every single person I saw wanted to talk about it. And I guess that's the equivalent locker room talk. What's the water bottle? What is it around the water cooler?
Water. Yeah. Dude, yeah, we don't have to know those terms. We don't work in offices.
One guy got bummed because I said, dude, I worked my whole life to not have water cooler talk. Like, exactly. He was like, what is that supposed to mean? I was like, all right, never mind. Yeah. I heard the guy, I forget his name, I'm so sorry. I heard the guy is awake, conscious, holding hands.
Yeah, it's amazing. It's a miracle. I mean, I don't think football is going to be played the same way ever again. You know, you had even the commentators were like, you know, crying and talking about how much it means to be on a team with a fellow player and how it's more than just sports. And, you know, it's strange. It brought the world, it seemed like it brought the country together for a little, like for those moments that everyone was in a prayer circle. Like, it just felt like everyone was focused on that. It was a strange feeling to know that was a Buffalo team. You know, we're notorious for so much shit, but now this is happening to us. And hopefully, you know, this is just going to be a story of, redemption for this guy to come back and try to get back on his feet again.
I hope so too. And since people are hearing this on Patreon first, I will just say that I will save any additional comments for my conspiratainment show that I'm going to start on Patreon.
Totally.
Patreon only. And I invite Doc Coyle on because he's official narrative Doc. We just had him on the regular show. And because as soon as I asked any sort of other questions, I was met with such pushback. and I was like, well, it's the NFL, you know, whatever. So right. Today's show, it's the Lyrical Breakdown. We're going to talk. We're going to talk about one song and one song only on this type of show. Okay. And for this episode, I chose Motley Crue's song Bastard. And I'm going to tell you why I chose it real quick.
Okay.
We were on the tour, Perseverance 20th anniversary tour. And I have like a pre-show warm-up playlist. And I was thinking of other songs I should put in. And I thought, you know what? It shouldn't all be death metal. Maybe I should, you know, there's some hardcore on there too, like Madball, Hold It Down, Terror. What Terror song is that? I think it's Return to Strength, maybe. But it's mostly hard ass songs. I was like, let me put some more rock.
Yeah.
And I thought, you gotta
get the edge in there.
Yeah. And I thought, what's like a pissed off rock song, like with hard lyrics? And this one came to me and I instantly Googled the lyrics and then I ran out front and I said to Sean Martin, shout out to Sean. He'll come on this show one of these days.
Yeah.
I said, dude, did you ever read the lyrics to Motley Crue's Bastard? And he's like, so hard. He's like, consider that bastard dead.
Well, consider bastard dead. You're the king of the sleaze. Dang.
It's like it could be a New York hardcore song if it was set to different style music.
Oh yeah,
because every hardcore band has that like payback song, right? It's almost to the point where it's cliche. Like, all right, we get it. Who fucked you over? Like,
right.
But for Motley Crue, a band associated with glam and partying, I guess not on this record, right? Like, this was before they were more associated with that.
Yeah.
But in Nikki Sixx's own words, and we're going to hear a clip right now in regards to the song, he was saying like, look, we were four young people. Well, you know what? I'm paraphrasing. Let's hear from Nikki directly when asked about this song, Bastard.
All right.
I have with me here the sleeve from your latest album entitled Shout at the Devil, right? And there's a song here called Bastard. I'm going to read a bit of it and then ask you exactly what you mean by it. I mean, it's like, out go the lights, in goes my knife, pull out his life, consider that bastard dead, get on your knees, please beg me, please, you're the king of sleaze, don't you try to rape me. What was the motivation in the writing of the song?
A manager, when it says, don't try to rape me, means don't try to screw with me. Don't try to take what we've worked for our whole lives away. You're the king of the sleaze. You're the sleaziest person I ever met. You're trying to screw over four perfectly innocent human beings who just want to rock and roll and have a good time. Greed in the music business is basically what that song's about.
Ah, that's a much better perspective. Someone just reading this, I mean, this is pretty heavy stuff. Consider that bastard dead. Won't get screwed again. Make it quick. Blow off his head. It seems like viciousness to someone who's not informed on what the song is.
We were very angry. Very angry. Like, that's one of the reasons that song was dedicated to that person, because we never had a chance to tour Europe before because of him. And now we're here. We're on a much better ground. Sex. Hey, we're animalistic. We're barbarians of rock and roll. Get down, get nasty. It's true art form, you know? We're like a porno movie.
Whoa. He just compared a true art form to a porno movie.
So now I see a lot of people have Googled who's Motley Crue's first manager, but the right name doesn't come up.
Oh.
So then I had to go back and I saw that Motley Crue and manager Bert Stein filed suit against each other, but that was from 2008. So the song came out in 83.
Yeah.
And if someone was managing them prior to that, I couldn't find it. Maybe somebody in the chat could, but I thought, man, it sounded like they really were like plotting to possibly kill this person.
Yeah. Yeah. It sounds very specific, but maybe they just like kind of were writing hypothetically, if one day they get so big that a manager screws them over, this is what they would do as sort of a warning to future managers. Don't fuck with us. You know?
Well, yeah, because he talks about it kind of in the present as well. Like, this guy was the reason they weren't going to Europe.
Right. Yeah. So who, how long were they a band?
When did Shout of the Devil come out? 83. And then in 85, they had they got named as one of the Filthy 15, right? For the whole PMRC thing.
Oh, wow.
And I think, you know, the album's title track was probably the reason. But then, you know, this track Bastard also they used as backup. I mean, that's got to be one of the hardest verses ever written. Out go the lights, in goes my knife, pull out his life. I mean, it sounds like Cannibal Corpse.
I was literally just going to say that. I was literally going to say that if you put those lyrics, you know, in front of anybody, they would most likely guess they were Cannibal Corpse lyrics. It's wild. Who are the Filthy 15, by the way? Let's talk about that.
I think Cannibal Corpse is in the Filthy 15. We could look it up right now. PMR, if you let's see, PMRC Filthy 15, where are they now? There is there's a Rolling Stone article. Okay, so it's Judas Priest, Eat Me Alive.
Okay.
There's Motley Crue. Oh, Bastard is the song and it's the proposed PMRC rating. It says violent.
Oh.
After a few years from emerging from the LA's Sunset Strip, who teased hair, makeup, and platform shoes, the group had become glam metal sleazy messiahs, unapologetically having sex with groupies, doing any kind of drug, and carrying on like Hellspawn Incarnate, all the while singing about their exploits. After Motley Crue released their sophomore LP, 1983's gritty Shout at the Devil, they quickly became superstars thanks to heavy MTV support and singles Too Young to Fall in Love and Looks That Kill. So you know what? I mean, Bastard kind of had to. It kind of had to even out the vibe, right? Because
it really did.
Looks That Kill and Too Young to Fall in Love. That doesn't sound that bad to me, but Bastard and Shout at the Devil.
Yeah, yeah, man, were they geniuses? I mean, did they know what they were doing? Because this is really—it's like really smart of them to do. Almost like, I don't know if if they accidentally did that and put out a song like this, it totally like change the way people look at them a little bit with this song. It really does like you look back and you're like, yeah, they're glam rock. And then you realize that this is in their early category. Like, whoa, they're kind of hard.
Yeah, like you, and they're not small guys, right? Like, I don't know if you ever met Nikki or Tommy Lee, especially back then when it was really just sort of like bikers, criminals, and rockers were heavily tattooed up like that. But Prince was on there for Darling Nikki. Sheena Easton was on there for Sugar Walls.
Wow.
Shout out to Sheena.
Yeah.
Wasp, great band, great animal, Fuck Like a Beast was on there for being profane or sexually explicit.
What about Warrant? Was Warrant on there at all?
No, I think this was pre-Warrant. But let's remember, Warrant is just horny cult of personality. I've talked about this at length.
Their arrest.
Merciful Fate, Into the Coven. I mean, any of these, slapping a parental advisory sticker on it was like, just consider it going gold, right?
Absolutely.
Vanity, strap on Robbie Baby.
What's that?
Vanity. Def Leppard, High and Dry, Drugs and Alcohol. Twisted Sister, We're Not Gonna Take It, Violent.
Mm-hmm.
And D, Just Destroyed Them. We've done many, Madonna, Dress You Up.
Oh, interesting.
But I mean, if that's explicit or profane, gonna dress you up in my love all over your body, I mean, that's tame. Like, before we get into Bastard, let's do this.
Okay.
Let's compare Madonna, Dress You Up. Let's compare Madonna, Dress You Up to Wet Ass Pussy.
Yeah, why not? It has yet to be done. Somebody's got to do it.
Because Dress You Up was a hit. It was on the Billboard charts, the Billboard pop charts. So was Wet Ass Pussy. I think Wet Ass Pussy was on there for like 9 weeks or something. You've Got Style. That's what all the girls say. Satin sheets and luxury so fine. All the suits are custom made in London, but I've got something that you'll really like. Gonna dress you up in my love all over. Gonna dress you up in my love all over your body. Now let's read the first verse of Wet Ass Pussy, which... if the PMRC was around today, and we'll get back to Motley Crue's Bastard in a second. But let's see here. Let me see. It's pulling up the YouTube video. I don't want to get demonetized here. So, okay. So Wet Ass Pussy lyrics. Wow. When you Google Wet Ass. Yeah.
I won't. Yeah. I'm going to leave it up to you.
There's some whores in this house. Certified freak, 7 days a week. Wet ass pussy, make that pull out game weak. Woo. Yeah. You fucking with some wet ass pussy. Bring a mop, bring a bucket and a mop for this wet ass pussy. Give me everything you got for this wet ass pussy. Beat it up, N-word, catch a charge, extra large, extra hard. Wow. Put this pussy right in your face, swipe your nose like a credit card.
Dude, take it to the fucking limit with obscenities. These days, like, you got to shock somehow, you know? Just go fucking full bore.
I remember when I was told, like, I went to Jimmy Fallon. Jimmy Fallon and I talked to the booker and I even talked to Jimmy Fallon for a little bit, and they were being nice about kind of, you know, they want to support metal and they want to have some of the bands on.
Yeah.
But it was, you could tell, like, they're just, they don't want it, you know. But wet ass pussy, let's put it everywhere.
Get it out there. Get it fucking out. It's insane. I don't understand how so many bands go unnoticed or unplayed on the radio. And, you know, what gets on is always like controversial because people don't know if it should be on. So why not just put on bands that actually want to be on the radio and are like ready to be on the radio, you know?
That's a whole podcast for another day. Like when we buy out our own radio station, like
UHF?
Pirate Radio with Christian Slater. Remember that?
Yeah. Dude, like, I'm telling you, there is a lot of old, well, not a lot, but there's, I'll say there's at least one very beautiful, very abandoned radio station slash tower right by our house. And every day I drive by it, I'm like, oh man, I want to set up shop in that. That looks awesome. That looks awesome. So maybe one day we can have the headquarters here.
I know the emails and the comments we're getting right now. It's like, dude, ever hear the internet? It's way better. It reaches more. But back to the song about today's episode, which today's episode is about, which is Motley Crue's Bastard.
Yeah.
Supposedly written about one of their managers. I mean, if you were that manager, do you get a restraining order after this song is written?
Yeah, I think you do. I think you leave the country for a while and lay low and then pop up with a different name somewhere else, honestly. I mean, especially if you're that guy and you're watching how fast they're getting popular and how like their fan base is growing and that it's becoming a real threat. That was the original. That's like the fucking Kanye Pete Davidson of the 80s. You know, it's like out of control too fast.
So there's been other, I guess he wrote about it in The Dirt. I'm reading here just about Shout at the Devil in general, but there's been other stories about the record and the song, one of which is that they were originally going to call it Shout with the Devil.
Which
I guess, I mean, that would have created more problems than they probably needed at the time as well.
Yeah.
But it just goes to show for the time, this was very daring.
It still is. I mean, it still is. It's not like a song today that would come out and you know, probably get buried on the internet. I mean, you got to realize this is just like one of the biggest and best rock acts of the day, and that everyone was hearing this song. There was no such thing as deep cuts back then, really, because, you know, every cut was just what everybody listened to. So the fact that this got out there is pretty wild. I'd be curious to see, like, other musicians of the time that were affected by this song particularly that like got inspired to like be like Motley Crue because they were this fucking edgy, you know?
Yeah. And what inspired this? Cause anything pre 1983, like late 70s hard rock. I mean, there's some tough ass, like there was rock beef before this, right? Like Skinner had beef with Neil Young. Skinner had beef with Molly Hatchet. Mm-hmm. Molly Hatchet had a hard song where they're talking about blowing someone's head off. Maybe Nick could Nick, look up Molly Hatchet, blow your head off. They were hard.
The first time that's ever been put in the Google, I bet.
The album Shout of the Devil peaked at number 17 on the Billboard chart, earned the scorn of many Christian groups that interpreted the title as an endorsement of Satanism. And according to Tom Zutaut, the metal band's A&R rep over at Elektra Records, Shout at the Devil originally had an even darker, if only slightly tweaked title, which referenced Nikki Sixx's growing interest in satanic imagery. Tom is quoted as saying, so this is from Motley Crue's 2001 autobiography, The Dirt. It was upsetting to the label, and it was upsetting to me that I originally wanted to call the record Shout with the Devil.
Right. Yeah, that means you're on the devil's side, you know?
Right. But
when you shout at the devil, you're kind of turned facing him, and then the Christians can go, oh, okay, you're against the devil. That's fine. But with shouting with the devil, you know, then you're on his team. Can't do that, you know?
Hey, everybody, it's Jamie and Nick jumping in with a quick interruption, reminding you today's episode is brought to you by Manscaped. Do you have the lawnmower?
I think I got it years ago, like the first version of it.
Oh, dude, you got to get the new one. The Performance Package 4.0 has everything you need to prepare for that winter love session. You don't want to have hippie dick going into the winter love session, especially if you're going to be out like fucking, like if you're up in Buffalo like Keith and you're going to be fucking snow plowing, you want to plow the fucking hedges down there first. You know what I mean? Because you get all sweat and all junk caught in the hair down there, and then your girl goes down there and she's like, ah! It's terrible. Go to manscaped.com after the podcast today. You're going to save 20% off when you use the code JOSTA. Plus, you're going to get free shipping. So you can get the lawnmower 4.0 trimmer, which features the cutting-edge ceramic blade. So you're not going to nick the old... You know, like when someone says, put your balls on the line, man. Like, put some skin in the game. Listen, every time you shave your balls, you got skin in the game. So you don't want to nick any scrotum. You need all the scrotum you can get. Go to manscaped.com, promo code JOSTA, 20% off, plus free shipping. They got great shampoo. Even their lip balm is good. You'll love it.
All right.
Now back to the show. So the leftover track, I will... Oh, are we about to fucking bang some hatchet?
This is Molly Hatchet. It's called Bounty Hunter.
Bounty Hunter. Alright, we're doing this one for the next episode.
Alright.
Because these lyrics are hard. I know this because this definitely was a Hatebreed Front Lounge 3 a.m. party song.
Was it really? Only the hardest get played there.
The hardest fucking 70s classic rock. Yeah. So the leftover track I Will Survive, during which they chanted Jesus is Satan backwards. Can we find that, Nick?
Wow.
And did you know about this?
I did.
What is it again?
Okay, so there was a leftover track that I think, like a B-side, or what do they call that? A bonus track, an extra track.
Right.
Maybe if you search Motley Crue, I Will Survive, it says here that during the recording, they laid on their back and attempted to chant Jesus is saying Satan backwards.
Wow. Well, all right. Yeah. I bet they did.
The Nikki Sixx, the band's primary songwriter, wanted the album and his corresponding tour to explore the concept of evil. The bassist started to believe that President Ronald Reagan was the Antichrist himself, given that his names were each six letters long. Ronald Wilson Reagan, 666.
That's not just a conspiracy theory. That's like that kind of sometimes works its way into like theology of like, the end times are very much here because Ronald Reagan is the Antichrist. Like, there's some people just straight up, you know, still hold on to that. It's wild.
Well, he said this in the dirt. He said that he was the devil I wanted everybody to shout at.
Okay. Cool.
He also said that both him and his A&R guy witnessed objects levitating and flying around his home, which he shared with Lita Ford at the time. Describing one particular disturbing visit, the A&R guy Tom freaked out after seeing a knife and fork rise off the table, stick to the ceiling. Quote unquote, there is no more shout with the devil, he told Six. If you keep shouting with the devil, you're going to get killed.
Mm-hmm.
So do you believe the whole Faustian bargain? And maybe that's why we don't see this... Maybe that's why we don't see this guy's name around. Like, does Nikki Sixx have a body? Like,
I don't know what's up with him. I didn't know that about him. That explains a lot. I mean, I don't know what Nikki Sixx has done now. Like, I thought it was kind of playful before, but now that I know that there was like satanic chanting and, you know, telekinesis involved, dude. Yeah, there might be a body buried.
Nick, you can't find that track, right? Is there any information about that track?
And I found that track, but I can't preview it without playing it. Just loud, so.
Whoa.
Can you go to the end and see if we can hear the chant?
Oh, there it is.
Oh.
how many people play, how many people did the reverse thing on the fucking vinyl and like tried to like hear them say Jesus is Satan?
That's crazy. I had no idea they did that. I did the backwards thing with Black Sabbath, but I didn't know that there was one to do with Motley Crue.
Well, I don't think it's on the original vinyl, if I'm reading this correctly.
Yeah. It's not even a story that even made, like, of all, you know, they were so into the sensationalism of, you know, the satanic panic stuff. You would think that would have come out in the media. I never heard that before. That's a big one.
Thomas quoted as saying, to this day, that incident remains one of the most bizarre things I've ever seen in my life.
Wow.
Former A&R executive at Elektra Records. And the alternate cover doesn't have the pentagram, right? The one with the four of them.
Huh.
Do you remember the difference between the two? Like the one has the pentagram upside down.
Yeah.
And then the other one has the four of them.
Man, I only remember the one with the four of them. I don't remember the pentagram upside down. But
maybe Nick can share it for those who are watching on YouTube.
Dude, I wonder if they're in league with Satan. That's wild.
People who don't believe in the Faustian bargain. Mm-hmm. I often question, like, why? Why is that not possible? Like, why?
Right. Exactly.
We see it all the time. We see people that are totally one way, and then we'll hear something, and you go, wait, they did what? And it's a complete.
Yeah.
What's this? What is it? 180? What's the?
Yeah. Complete 180.
Yeah. And I was thinking about this when I was reading the lyrics to this song, because it's so violent, right? You're threatening someone's life. But then in the interviews, the subsequent interviews, he's like, well, it's just about a manager. So I thought, was this because they were getting asked about it in every interview? Because he's definitely like a savvy media. Like, he's media trained, right?
Right. Right. Yeah, man. I don't know. Now I'm really... Dude, we might have an unsolved mystery on our... Holy cow.
We got to get Nicky on the show and ask him. Just, you know...
That's the thing with lyrics. I mean, there's just so much plausible deniability, you know, that you could just make it be about whatever you need someone to believe it's about, you know, when you write it, you just... You know, oh no, it's a metaphor. Oh no, it's talking about somebody else. But yeah, you'd have to get him to admit it himself. But shoot.
And it's not about Doc McGee or anybody who was working with McGee, because like in the movie, right? That's the funny part in the movie where the manager gets Entertainment or Death, because it was supposed to be the title of the third album. But then they changed the record's name to Theater of Pain.
Yeah.
But I guess that story is only half true, because it was actually McGee's managing partner, Doug Thaler, who had the tattoo done. Early in the movie, the band members, what do they call that when they talk to the screen?
Oh, like the break the fourth wall?
Yes. And then they say, you know, they merged the two stories, whatever, for a simpler narrative.
I haven't seen it. I got to watch it.
It's not bad. Nick, did you see The Dirt?
Nick, hello. Nick, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here. Sorry. Yeah, I watched it on tour like a long time ago, so I don't remember it that well, but I wish they went more into like the Ozzy part.
So you wish it was an Ozzy documentary?
Yeah, why isn't there a fucking Ozzy movie?
True. Why isn't there a fucking Ozzy movie?
And that guy who played Ozzy should play Ozzy. He was great.
Yeah, he was awesome.
I don't remember the actor's name, but he was good.
Play a good Ozzy.
I was trying to set up Nick to be never seen it Nick, because already on Patreon he's known as never heard it Nick. But you have heard Shout at the Devil, right?
Oh yeah.
Okay. All right, let's go to chat and thank you everybody who joined from Patreon. Let's see. Alex Atkinson writes, Alan Kaufman managed them till around 82 with Vicki Hamilton. All right. Can someone look up if Alan Kaufman and Vicki Hamilton are still alive? And can we try to get them on the podcast if they are and say, hey, what, you know?
Yeah, we'll you get them, you invite them, and then you invite Nikki Six, and then you just have them meet at a location that you don't show up to and just watch them interact from outside a window. See how they react the first to each other.
instead of encouraging the beef, we do a whole squash the beef series. We're like, hey,
awesome.
Can we let bygones be bygones on this one and everybody hug it out? Let's see here. Tony Cavallaro played Ozzy in the Dirt. Thank you, Jeff Kuhn. Let's look up Tony Cavallaro here. He was great. What else has he been in? Is he the one from Game of Thrones?
I don't know. I can't think of his face. Tony Cavallaro. I don't know. Max Cavallaro.
He's good.
Righteous Gemstones.
Tony Cavallaro. He's from the Righteous Gemstones. He's a member of the Groundlings in Los Angeles. He's known for his role as Dewey Finn on Nickelodeon's School of Rock, Keith Chambers on the HBO television story series Righteous Gemstones, and for playing Ozzy Osbourne in the film The Dirt.
Oh, cool. That's cool.
He's originally from Annandale, Virginia. The Ozzy biopic, I think, is underway, though. Yeah, I don't know if anybody else...
That needs to happen.
It says... Ozzy wants, and this is from November 10th, 2022. Ozzy wants an unknown actor to play him in new biopic.
Whoa.
Yeah.
I'm unknown to acting.
Yeah. How's your Ozzy imitation?
The shrimp on the bobby. Oh, no, wait. I can't do any impressions. No, I would be horrible. Although, I don't know. I mean, how hard is it to impersonate Ozzy? I mean, he's unique, absolutely, but we've been watching him, you know, we've had him on live TV pretty much for the past 10 years straight. So everyone's very familiar with how to imitate Ozzy, I'm sure, you know, just you kind of dodder around, mumble a little bit.
Well, they've confirmed that the film is in the works back in 2020. And then as of 2022, it's been said that it'll focus on Ozzy and Sharon's whirlwind relationship between 1979 and 1996.
That's and cool.
It's going to be Lee Hall, who wrote the Elton John biopic Rocket Man, which I haven't seen. Did you see Rocket Man?
No, I have not.
I have not.
But let us know for the next episode. If we don't do Molly Hatchet, what was the name of the Molly Hatchet song, Nick?
Bounty Hunter.
Bounty Hunter
might have to be episode two of the Lyrical Breakdown. But Molly Crew Bastard, go read the lyrics if you haven't yet. Won't get screwed again. Get your neck in the noose. I got nothing to lose. We're really going to screw you. Consider that bastard dead. Quick as a shark, the beast has its mark. You can't beat the dark. Don't try to rape me. That shit's hard, bro.
What is that? The beast has its mark. What does that mean?
Make it quick. Blow up his head. Consider that bastard dead.
Wow. Wow. What was the name of the managers again?
Yeah, let's go to the chat. We got to look them up. Nick, look up and see if they're alive. If Alan Kaufman is dead, we need to know what Nikki Sixx's alibi is.
Yeah. Where was he that night?
But at that point, though, if you're Nikki, you just pay somebody to do it. Right?
Oh, dude. Yeah, you probably pay somebody to do it. Also, isn't there like a statute of limitations where like he can't be held accountable if it's like 7 years after the crime took place? You know, I do watch a lot of Law and Order, so I am kind of a famous lawyer, I guess.
Now, if Nick had the Law and Order sound right there to hit, that would have been... Maybe you have to edit that in post.
Oh, you know, speaking of Righteous Gemstones, I just watched the episode where he goes, yeah, you might have seen me. I was in Law and Order. And Danny McBride goes, I don't like shows where stuff gets solved. I was like, that's...
All right, so... I found it. Kaufman passed away from a brain tumor in 1992.
Oh. What? 10 years later?
Yeah.
Sounds sus.
So does that mean
brain tumor?
Yeah, like what? Like what? Yeah, what if they were just sending him cases of Diet Coke or something? Like, what if they're just sending him? Like, what gives? Does aspartame give you a brain tumor? Like, what if they were just loading his drinks with
microwaves?
Aspartame? What if
they were loading his drinks with microwaves?
What if they paid a dude to just sit outside his house with a fucking one of those high powered microwaves, just aiming it at his dome? That's terrible.
Dude, yeah, but okay, it is terrible. But think about how pissed Nikki Sixx would have to be to do that, and what could actually infuriate him that much to pull such a long burn that he just sit outside of his house blasting with microwaves for years.
And then the poor bastard that hired to do it, he's like, dude, do I still got to do this? He's like, every day, 5 days a week. What did I tell you? Consider that bastard dead. Blow up his head.
Man.
So wait, the lyric says blow up his head.
Mm-hmm.
He died of a brain tumor.
Yep.
Whoa. Jamie.
Dude.
You're on to something, dude.
We can't put this episode out public. This is going to have to be, we're going to, like, do we cut it before this part?
Well, no, we're not accusing. It's purely parody. You know, I mean, we're.
But art imitates life sometimes.
Exactly. It's just, it's two factual things that you're just pointing out a relationship between. It's not accusing anybody of anything. A dude died from a brain tumor. And also, Nikki Sixx, you know, wrote lyrics about blowing out someone's head. It's weird.
It's a stretch. It's a little bit of a stretch. 10 years later, so say if they fired him in 82, 92, I mean, no tears were shed at that point, right? Like, by Nikki and the boys. They're like...
Right.
Yeah. But we don't know. This is all speculation.
Yeah. It's all speculation. But I'm going to take it as true. So you guys... I'm holding all of this as true from now on, so you guys can take it for what you will, but it's true to me now.
I don't think, I'm reading back these lyrics, I don't think there's anything in these lyrics I would have changed.
Yeah.
It's perfect. The lyrics are perfect.
It really is. It's like, it just doesn't, it's all killer, no filler.
Are you a fan of using the same line to close out each verse?
I mean, I'm not a fan of it, but I feel like back then it was probably pretty normal to do. And, you know, they weren't reinventing the wheel. So, you know, I'm sure they were still trying to just get in with, like, you know, having a memorable line. I don't know. I think it worked, right?
Well, yeah, because it's don't try to rape me.
Yeah. I mean, that's a... Oof. Oof. We remember the problems Nirvana had with that song, just even getting on a record. So that's a very divisive word to put in music.
So the first verse ends, you're the king of the sleaze, don't try to rape me. And then the second one is, you can't beat the dark, don't try to rape me. So they're really hammering home the message. And then, you know, ending on the chorus, bastard. Dun, dun. Mm-hmm. Consider that bastard dead. I mean, that shit goes hard in the paint.
Yeah, it does. It does. You could also just imagine that he's talking about the devil himself, you know, but he didn't say that. So I'd have to cross that idea off the list of possible influences. But yeah, I don't know. I don't know why he wouldn't say that, because you could very obviously use the plausible deniability of just, oh, it's just talking about evil in general, you know?
Also, if you look at it as like they're having the person is having a conversation with the character, whether the character is, the devil on the shoulder or just, you know, the alter ego. It's almost like it could be a conversation. Like he's saying, consider that bastard dead. Quick as a shark, the beast has its mark. You can't be the dark. Don't try to rape me. And then the other person is saying, yeah, well, consider that bastard dead. Like, they're making the bargain within the song.
Right. Yeah, totally.
Won't be screwed again, bastard. Make it quick. Blow up his head, bastard. Consider that bastard dead.
I mean, yeah, it's very Faustian. It's also very biblical. I mean, that's God made a deal with the devil to hand over Job, you know, and then the devil tortured Job. So, I mean, it's very, I'm not saying that Nikki Sixx knew this, but you know, it definitely shows up a lot in lyrics and stories and stuff.
What is the legend of Job? Like, is Job rich at that point?
He was content, we'll say. But then after he got struck with the sores and the plagues, everything, then God paid him back like sevenfold, I think. So he had more ancestors and more land, and he was very rich.
Right. So he doesn't make the bargain. He refuses to curse God, and he's rewarded for not cursing
selling God out. Yeah. Yep.
Right. Okay. Because just the title bastard, you know, if you look up the definition, right. Mm-hmm. That I was thinking, like, oh, is it literal? Are they saying, like, is this, at first I thought, before I read the backstory, I thought, oh, maybe it's because I remember him saying he was like in the foster system and stuff.
Yeah.
But there's also, you know, if you use it as an adjective, it says no longer in its pure or original form, debased.
Right. Right.
But then it says like similar terms would be hybrid, which would not, if that was the song, not good. Hybrid, dun, dun,
yeah,
consider that bastard, consider that hybrid dead. We'd be like, whoa, what are they talking about? But then there's other translations and other definitions of bastard.
Mm-hmm.
You know, meaning like it's, someone could say it's been a bastard of a week, or he lied to me, the bastard, just an unpleasant or despicable person. Not what we grew up knowing, like a fatherless child. It was called a bastard.
Right.
Or a character in Game of Thrones, right? Like that was, how many times it was bastard used in Game of Thrones?
Yeah. It's got tossed around a lot in that.
I mean, they really missed an opportunity by not having like any of those like pub scenes where there's like, or like any of those scenes where there's like a jester doing a song, like having an old medieval version of bastard in there.
Yeah, it's not too late, dude. Write to him.
For what's that other bullshit show, which I watched like fucking 5 minutes of?
House of the Dragons?
Oh, do I gotta give it a second chance?
Yeah, I liked it. It was cool. I mean,
I liked it too.
You did? Yeah, oh, yeah. Nick actually watched it.
Yeah. See, he actually watched it, Ben. You know, you gotta.
But he also didn't understand it because he's like, so wait, all the characters are different now on the episode I'm on. And like, we didn't know why. Remember, we had to look it up?
Yeah, it was like the first three were the one cast, and then it jumped like 10 years to a different cast. It was very strange.
Yeah, those kings and queens, they grow up so fast, you know?
Was there a lot of bastards in it?
Yeah, like everyone. Everyone's just fucking everyone. It was wild. It was like fucking spring break.
Dude, we're gonna have to do a medieval version of bastard with like a fucking violin. What did they play in medieval times? What were some of medieval instruments?
A lute, a lyre. Yeah. I think that's it. A harp and some trumpets. Yeah.
A psaltery, a shawm, bagpipes.
Dude, remember in, you played the Interlaken, right? At that festival in Sweden where they have like, it's in the mountains. Have you played that?
Yes.
Yeah. And they open the festival with the dudes blowing the horns and like from the Alps.
Yeah.
It's so cool. So cool.
We deadlined.
Yeah?
Yeah, we played after Iron Maiden. We didn't headline. We deadlined. AKA, you take the slot that everybody else turns down because it's a really good money slot, but you bear the brunt of the mass exodus.
Right, right. I've never heard that term. I'm also going to credit you with the term Punisher. I had never heard the term Punisher before you. So now I'm adding deadline to my vernacular.
I don't know why we put Punisher out into the public lexicon, or is it zeitgeist? Yeah. What is the proper term?
Zeitgeist is good.
I don't know why we did that, because now everybody comes up to me and goes, dude, I don't want to be a Punisher, but
I'm going to be a Punisher.
everybody had different words for it back in the day. Like Dimebag's word was strapper.
Oh, strapper. Interesting.
Yeah. So he'd be like, dude, sorry I'm late. I was strapped up. A couple dudes, you know, we ended up talking.
Strapped up. I love it.
All right. This has been the lyrical breakdown. If you want more, go to patreon.com/Josta and we'll try to give you an update on Keith's Patreon in the next few weeks. But Keith, where can they find you in the meantime? Are you on Instagram?
Yeah, you can find me at Death of the Party on Twitter, and I think Keith Buckley on Instagram, but I don't know. Go to Twitter. I'm mostly there.
All right, and thank you, Nick, and everybody who joined from Patreon. We will we'll be back hopefully next week or the week after with the Molly Hatchet song "Bounty Hunter." So,
thanks for having.
Anytime, bro. And I know there's a good backstory to Bounty Hunter if you want to start reading up on that.
Who wouldn't?
We always see Molly Hatchet in the airport. I don't think it's any like original members.
You always see them in the airport.
Yeah, like
I thought
like,
you were gonna say where you saw them like at a venue. Oh yeah, I remember I used to see Molly Hatchet in the airport.
No, I've been at three different airports where I like add baggage and I see the case go by. And I was like, you know, like it has their stuff on it.
I once saw Axl Rose eating a Whopper by himself at the airport in Sydney, Australia.
A Whopper with cheese?
Yeah, it was. I looked hard. It was a Whopper with cheese. I saw it.
That's amazing. Did he have the cornrows?
Yes. He looked like Axl Rose and nobody was anywhere near him. Like they were like, it was like he was the center of a blast radius in the food court. Like nobody was going near him.
He probably had a peripheral security team or something, right?
I just imagine him barking like a dog if anybody tried to sit anywhere near him.
Because I was imagining they had strict instructions to be like, look, every time we go to the airport, Axel goes and gets his. Was it a what? Why did I already forget it? Was a Whopper or a Big Mac?
Whopper with cheese.
I just picture the zoom in on the cheese. Like you saw the cheese like shine.
I remember it. But I'm getting it mixed up with like a commercial because in my mind, the cheese and the mayo were like drippy and it looked very picturesque. And I'm like, wow, that looks like a really good fucking Whopper. And I'm like, no wonder Axl Rose is eating it. Like they probably made it with so much care, you know?
Yeah, do you think he has like someone else check it out before? Because I would be worried. Like, what if they're not a fan and they spit in it or something?
Yeah, he probably had his own. He probably took the Guns N' Roses personal chef and sent him behind the counter to make a Whopper.
Yes.
Trust. Somebody he trusts.
Yeah, you know they weren't giving it to him off the line. All right, we've kept you long enough, Keith. Thank you so much, Nick. Thank you. Thanks, everybody from Patreon. We'll be back next week. Molly Hatchet, the Bounty Hunter. Hard.
See ya.
Bye.
Metalheads rejoice. The legendary Milwaukee Metal Fest returns at the Rave Eagles Club, May 26th, 27th, and 28th, 2023, featuring Lamb of God, Anthrax, Suicidal Tendencies, Napalm Death, Dark Angel, The Black Dahlia Murder, Obituary, Shadows Fall, Corrosion of Conformity, Fear Factory, After the Burial, The Halo Effect, Dying Fetus, Immolation, Crowbar, and many more. Tickets on sale February 3rd at etix.com. Visit MilwaukeeMetalFestival.com for more information. See you in the pit.
If you are still listening, thank you so much. If you want early bird tickets to Milwaukee Metal Fest, go to therave.com/metalfest. Use promo code MMF, like Milwaukee Metal Fest, but short, MMF23, and you will get the discount off the three-day pass, of the single-day pass. And yeah, we can't wait to bring it back. And let us know if you enjoyed today's episode, the first ever, the debut. Right? Is that the right word?
Yeah, and this was the first episode in Keith. In the second episode, he fixed his mic.
Oh, good.
Because I think it was just the laptop mic.
On
like,
this one.
He didn't have like his headset on or whatever.
Yeah, this one we demoed just for the patrons over at patreon.com/Josta, and you'll always hear it first
on patreon.com/josta, and the video will live there as well. But we want to put this up on the free feed and thank everybody for supporting Metal Fest. And we hope that you enjoyed today's show with Keith, and we're looking forward to doing these episodes every few weeks with Keith Buckley. And he's going to be, let's see, he's going to be, I want to say he'll be back from San Francisco. So we're going to do an episode coming up soon. And you can, if you're on All Access or the executive producer tier, you can actually sit in with us as we record these on patreon.com/josta. But if you can't afford that, that's totally fine. If you want to just do the $5 a month, we do how many other podcasts per month on Patreon?
There's a bunch.
Besides this one, we're doing like 5-6 extra podcasts per month, right?
Yeah.
Sometimes 7.
And then we have like 2 that you do like per week, basically.
Yeah, and then the monthly music show.
Yeah.
And we're going to have behind the scenes information we're going to leak out for the Milwaukee Metal Fest Phase 2 and Phase 3. For the bands and for the people who are going to show up and do the signings and maybe some special guest appearances. And then, yeah, and then we'll also have the music show up for January and February. We're doing a part 2. Actually, we're doing 2 parts in February. So check out patreon.com/josta. Thank you to our sponsors. Thank you, Manscaped. Go to manscaped.com. Use the promo code JOSTA. You'll get 20% off plus free shipping. Thank you to indiemerchstore.com. The promo code is JOSTA10. We will put the link in the show notes just in case, but remember indiemerchstore.com. They are going to be presenting a stage at Milwaukee Metal Fest, and they're going to have a booth. They'll be vending. So you can go get like that shirt that you need that's got, you know, fucking heads exploding or like an axe and like a baby's head, and then you get the dirty looks at the fight. I just got a real dirty look for that Cannibal Corpse shirt at the bank the other day. That's like and I know better, but you never just put it on and you don't realize you have it on?
That's happened before, yes.
Yeah.
And then like when we toured with Goat Whore and what was the back of their shirt? Like, have sex with Satan or something?
why God when you have Satan? Or
And I'm like, oh, fuck, I'm wearing this in public.
You see the lady reaching for the button, like that panic button behind the counter. You're like, oh, yeah, chill. Just chill. We're not. It's all good. Check out martyrstore.net, martyrstore.net. Use the promo code MMF23 for 15% off. This week only, we got Milwaukee Metal Fest shirts. We got podcast shirts. We got Howard Jones tribute shirts back.
Oh, nice.
I got to give you one.
Okay.
Shout out to Hojo. He's on the How Awesome Is This podcast, which is coming back. We watched the movie Blood Rain. Have you seen that?
No.
Oh. Well, we'll put that audio up. That audio and that video will be up early on patreon.com/josta and on Gas Digital Network. If you have a Gas Digital Network sub, that's great too. That helps us, but that's different content over there. So if you want to really go above and beyond, gasdigitalnetwork.com, use the promo code JOSTA for that subscription. Then thank you to, who else do I thank Manscaped. We got martyrstore.net. We thanked indiemerchstore.com. I guess last, but certainly not least, we just got to shout out
the patrons who were...
Yeah.
In on the episode.
Yeah, and we're going to play their names at the credits on the end of all these episodes, like the executive producer level tier, because they're famous now. They're helping us produce all this content. We appreciate them, and hopefully they'll all be at Milwaukee Metal Fest come Memorial Day weekend, and we'll be back with another episode of the Lyrical Breakdown week after next, or maybe end of next week. We'll see what the schedule's like. What was the song that we did? I think it was Molly Hatchet.
Molly Hatchet was episode 2, yep.
$500, get your head blowed off. Sounds like it says blowed.
Yeah.
500, yeah. That song is hard. All right, everybody, drink your coffee, do your push-ups, listen to death metal, and we'll be back. The Josta Show regular schedule will resume shortly. Bye-bye. Executive producers Jake Olszewski, Ben Lee, AJ Lewis, Garrett Keeping, Dan Smith, Nick Torito, JJ Hernandez, Joe Bartovic, Jason Jarvis, Chris Larice, Alex Smolin, Todd McKee, John Blewett, Richard Miller, Kyle Marg, Nate Leffingwell, Morgan Costner, Mark Tagg, Zapagor Waikato, Niall Scholard, Kathy D'Ambrosio, Justin Steven, Jack Flanders, the Pit Commander, Andy Wilson, Jeffrey Kuhn, Kimo Humalamaki, Jonathan Metis, Brandon Cooper, Matthew Jankowskis, Jamie Kutcher, Ryan Underkoffler, Matt West, Ryan Maurice, Chad Green, Dallas Hendricks, Jacob Arensberg, Kenneth Moore, Kona Butterflies, Stephen Helm, Richard McIntosh, Jeff Stevenson, Ryan Williams, Larry Tooley, Dallas Bolin, Ryan St., Nathan Rex Madrid, Cameron Hendricks, Scandalous Official, Joe Motson, Let's Talk Resident Evil, Andrew Chase, Guy on the Couch, Chris Winchester, Antonio Reyes, Joe Otson, Dustin Stone, Lee Walker, Ryan Levson, John Hankis, Robert Bushaw, Troy Seal, Mark Horror Armenta, Jay Liberston, Nick Fowler, Mike Horgan, Emma Horgan, Arnarok, Patrick King, Oscar Brumman, Stacy Steineke, Fernando Somoza, Patrick O'Brien, Dominique Zimmer, Ryan Sanders, Lara Snyder, Daniel Burt, Adam Boss.